Hello, welcome to this week's Mouth of the Tyne podcast, Shields Gazette production. I'm Liam Kennedy, your host today, joined by fellow Newcastle United writer, Miles Starforth. Miles, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Especially after last weekend, though it wasn't looking too good after the third minute, but we'll go on to that, I'm sure. But no, good, thanks to you.
Yeah, really positive result, wasn't it? Positive result. Reasonably positive performance as well, and obviously defensively could have been torn apart really in that sort of first 45 in particular. But Newcastle United were decent after that, weren't they, Miles? And maybe could even make a case to say it's not often you can go to Anfield and make a case to say probably could have won the game.
Well, yeah, the start, it couldn't have got off to a worse start. I think we all feared what was going to happen from that moment on. But honestly, They were never out of the game, really. Always felt they could come back and get one. So Maxim, I think, was the key player in kind of driving them on through the game. But we spoke last week about Liverpool being vulnerable, and they weren't. It was such an open game. You don't often see such an open game at Anfield, especially against a team that good. But you look at the chances, especially even first half after going behind, some very, very good chances. You think back to that Longstaff chance as well. I just think he had a bit too much time. Never thought he'd be in that kind of space, in that kind of position. But incredible comeback late in the game too.
Yeah, in terms of the way Newcastle United performed since they've switched to this five at the back, three at the back, whatever you might call it, is that they weren't great defensively before that, but defensively, the whole rule book's gone out the window. They've been an absolute car crash defensively in even the games they've getting results recently. But in an attacking sense, you can't seem to have been involved in really entertaining games. West Ham, you could argue, as a neutral, that was an incredible game to watch. It had drama, it had comebacks, late goals. Liverpool, again, had the really late drama, the disallowed goal. Chances at both ends, both sides playing some really good, attractive football. And I think it's hard to imagine that, Miles, isn't it, a few weeks back?
Well, I think certainly they've been a bigger threat in going forward. And you look at Sam Maximum, he's a big factor. Callum Wilson, to an extent, too. Almiron as well has come back. But also, something we talked about a lot in the system that they were playing before with a back four, a kind of diamond midfield and narrow midfield, they were vulnerable in the fullback positions. You know, we think back to that games like away at Chelsea where the fullbacks had two players running at them, and they switched to kind of a back five, wing backs, back three, however you want to describe it, has really kind of addressed that and actually turned the team into a more attacking force at the other end of the pitch. And it was kind of, you add some Maximum to that. You obviously, Almiron came back at Brighton. He's kind of back up to speed. And you've got Wilson on the bench now. That's the thing. Wilson hasn't started a game yet. He's come back into the starting 11. But yeah, I think it all comes down to that tactical change. And it's not just the change in positions at one end of the pitch. It's looking at that those fullback positions. Murphy and Ritchie have done very, very well.
Would you say it's time for Callum Wilson to come back into the side now, Miles? We've seen Joe Linton had a decent run of form, but he's no Callum Wilson, is he?
Joe Linton's had his moments. It's a no-brainer for me. Wilson's got the start. He's had a couple of appearances. He's up to speed. Assuming there's no ill effects from last weekend, then he has to start. You need your best players. There's a few games left, and you'd put money on Wilson scoring in at least one of them. And his goals have been so important up to now for this club.
We showed a little bit of, passed on a bit of love towards Joe Willock last week. We'll come on to him again because he was Newcastle United's hero in the dying embers of that game at Anfield on Saturday. But I want to sort of spend some time talking about Alan St. Maximin because he is a really popular character with Newcastle United fans. He's had some amazing contributions over the last 2 years. But it's really good to see him performing like we know that Alan St. Maximin can, because he did this in the probably 12 months ago in the first lockdown, where he really, really stepped up the plate and was absolutely unplayable, incredible. The bit in between, not so much during the sort of start of this season. And you would argue before the first lockdown, very similar as well. Didn't really consistently perform at this level. But it's fair to say people look at Joe Willock's goals, but the return for me of Alan St. Maximin is probably the spark that's probably kept Newcastle United in this division.
Well, just look what he did to Liverpool. He unsettled them. This is a team that was winning 1-0 at home, and with enough wherewithal to comfortably see that game out and add to their lead. But he ran at them and he really unsettled a very good team. Of course, we know they were missing one or two players. But yeah, he's given them that spark. You look at Burnley in particular. When he wants to be, he's unplayable. We would say earlier this season, you look back, he signed that new contract. There was certainly a dip in form between in the period between then and when he went out of the team just before Palace. And then obviously he had a longer absence with COVID and the after effects of that. But he's come back bang in form. He's not always looked comfortable in the middle, but he's caused a lot of problems in kind of the more central areas since he's come back. On these kind of performances, you would imagine a lot of clubs will be looking at him this summer. And we just hope he can stay at this club, really, beyond this season, because he's such an important player, such an entertainer. He's an entertainer on pitch as well. I don't, him or whoever his social media people are very, very good as well.
Yes, they do seem to strike the right balance with that kind of thing. And he is a very, very popular figure on social media. Certainly likes a little dig at Sunderland, and that certainly goes down well with the Newcastle United faithful. For me, I think St. Maximin's made a massive impact, and I would argue that him and Willock, who was a loan signing in January, are probably the two sparks that are going to end up keeping Newcastle United in this division. Wilson will play his part. Really, really unlucky with that VAR decision. A daft rule, really. Nothing he could do about it, but the rules are the rules. But real character as well, character in that game to then come back from that blow, in my opinion. And I think that's one thing that's really heartening over the last month or so, is the kind of character that's been shown, because it didn't look like, you watch the Brighton game, other games that Newcastle have had in that really terrible 13-game winless run or whatever it was, he really doubted the character within the squad. Did they still have that fight for everything attitude that we've seen under like Rafa Benitez? Previously, that this team wouldn't give an inch to anybody. It looked like that had disappeared, but we've seen big signs of it. They came from behind against Burnley in a game they had to win. That's the type of thing that maybe 2 months ago in the winter period, you wouldn't have imagined Newcastle United even getting close to doing. Getting a result at Liverpool, getting a result against Tottenham late on, coming back after the blows of West Ham. That game had flowed in the second half, only going one way. I know it was against 10 men, but it really was a bit of a surrender that second half. But then to grab the game by the scruff of the neck again and come back fighting. Look, I think we've been the first to criticise the management team, the coaches, the team, the players themselves on this podcast. I think in the interest of fairness, it's only right to say, look, Steve Bruce deserves a little bit of credit. The players deserve a hell of a lot of credit, in my opinion. Graham Jones, for getting the change and showing that pragmatism to change, deserves a bit of credit. I think it feels much better, doesn't it, Miles? We're in a little bit more of a positive place, but that doesn't mean this is the answer to all the problems in the same token. Well,
this is a point. Steve Bruce, rightly, is a strong candidate for the Manager of the Month award for this month. Had there been I called for a managerial change after Brighton. I wasn't alone in that. I felt a change was better than no change. If a new manager had come in and got two wins and two draws from those four games, what would we be saying? Terrific start. That those results have come under Steve Bruce, Graham Jones, and this group of players. But the flip side to that is the club shouldn't have been in that position. And the buck stopped with Steve Bruce for the club being in that position at late March. I know injuries were a factor. I know COVID-19 was a factor. But for me, this squad should not have been in that position. So there's two sides to that. The club shouldn't have been in that position. But we've been quick to criticise. I think we've been fair and justified in the criticism we've made. But I'll give credit to Bruce, the coaching staff, and the players for the results this past month. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does get that award for this month, given the turnaround we've seen, because none of us could see it at Brighton. The other thing we can point to rightly at San Maximin and Willock and the impact they've made. But, you know, as I said, with the full, the wing backs, Richie and Murphy, we've seen contributions all over the pitch, really. There's been, look at Dubravka at Anfield. Very, very good interventions there. We a month or two ago, or a couple of months ago, we spoke about him, the need for him to come back into the team. He did. He's done very well. Again, you look at Sean Longstaff. He's come back into the team for this period. He's not done anything spectacular, but he's been steady and he's moved the ball well. He's covered a lot of ground and he certainly played his role. There's been a lot of encouraging performances the past few weeks and they've set them up kind of nicely, really, for the last few games.
Really, really pleased to see Sean Longstaff come in and have a pretty good impact in the first team, because I think everybody out there can agree, you may know the story, you may not know the story, you may know bits of the story, but the consensus is he was felt like he was treated reasonably unfairly by the management team. And it's nice to see that they've managed to put that fire out between them. They both deserve credit for that and come back and just start where they need it to. Get the player in the team and get him performing, because he is a top-class player. Look, he might not be as good as everyone thought he was going to be when he first came in, but there's no doubt in my mind that Sean Longstaff belongs in the Premier League and can be a really useful player for Newcastle United.
Yeah, he's a good footballer. We all know that, but he also brings a physicality to the midfield. You know, he's a different player to his brother, his brother's a phenomenal athlete, covers an incredible amount of ground, but Sean Longstaff has covered a lot of ground as well. He's passed the ball, he's moved, he's ran, he's pressed. So he's done everything that's been really asked for him, and it's just a shame he couldn't make something of that chance at Anfield, because that would have really set that game up last weekend.
Joe Willock, would you sign him, Miles? This is just... Do you think Newcastle have got a chance of signing him? We've seen reports this week of no first option, no deal already in place. It seems like a no-brainer to try and get those conversations started now, doesn't it, for next season?
I think it's a no-brainer. If he's available and he wants to come here, then yes, of course you would. It depends on the deal. Are Arsenal prepared to loan him again? You probably think not. If they want to sell him, are they going to be reasonable with what they ask? He's not, in the space of a few weeks, turned into a £30 million player. We've heard the £20 yeah. million pound figure mentioned. Is that reasonable? Certainly, I've liked what I've seen so far. He's got. We've talked about it before. He's got that knack of just getting on the end of things on the box, yeah. being at the right thing. That knack that some midfielders have of just picking, getting to the end of balls, arriving at the right time. He's got that. But he does a phenomenal amount of work outside the box. He's good energy, gets up and down. You know, all the things actually Steve Bruce said he would bring to the club when they signed him.
Who replaces him then? Because we know he can't play against his parent club. There would have been a clamour for him to be brought into the side, and it might well have been a Sean Longstaff or even maybe a Miguel Almirón, who sort of struggled for a little bit of form in the last few weeks, who might have dropped out the side. I'm interested to know who comes onto the bench to replace Willock. I think it's the perfect opportunity, and this is slightly overlooking the other Longstaff brother, Matty, who I think deserves a chance on the bench. But I might be looking at Elliot Anderson and saying, can he be brought onto the Newcastle United bench? There isn't a massive amount to play for at the back end of this season. I'd like to see him get some minutes out on the pitch.
I'd certainly like to see Elliot Anderson on the bench between now and the end of the season. Is now the right time? I would say not. I would be looking more towards the last two or three games, even the last game, to get him off the bench. I would look in... If you want a player close to what Willock brings to bring off the bench, you'll be looking at Matty Longstaff. But I think I'll be looking for a couple of changes. Fabian Schär, if he's come through with no ill effects from his under-23 comeback, there's certainly a strong case for him to come onto the bench, possibly ahead of Kraft. But certainly I would see a place for the bench on Matty Longstaff. I know Jeff Hendrick's on the bench, but he's not going to bring that kind of dynamism, that energy, those kind of runs that we know those younger players, you know, certainly Matty or Joe Willock can make into the box, certainly late in the game. So I would be looking at a couple of changes. I would like to see Matty Longstaff and Fabian Schär on the bench, again, assuming he's fit. And that's, again, assuming there's no other changes to the starting 11.
So I'm going to come to predictions now, Miles. And what I'm going to do is it's going to be a double prediction. Are Newcastle United safe on current 36 points? Do you think they're safe? Would 36 points keep you up in the Premier League this season? And result of the weekend, what do you fancy?
Well, I think there's work to be done. But if I was going to put money on it, I would say 36 points will be enough come the end of the season to stay up. But I'll be a lot happier if they were up to 38, 39 points. And looking at the games he got left, I don't think it's unreasonable to be targeting another 5 or 6 points at least from these games. Sheffield United at home, Fulham away. Fulham could be down by them, or you would imagine would be down by then if things keep on going the way they're going. So certainly, at least half a dozen more points could be added to that total, which would take them well above, above 40 points. As for the weekend, I'm really tempted to go for a win given the form, the performances, the results. But I'm going to temper that a little and go for a 1-1 draw.
So I'm going to go 2-1 Newcastle United. I think will win at the weekend. And I actually agree with your prediction as well. I was slightly overlooking Fabian Shaw, but I think he's a big boost to have back. And he'll have one eye on the summer as well, wanting to get back for the Swiss internationals in the Euros. I think he's probably somebody that would look to bring in back into the side relatively quickly if he comes through this period. Maybe this weekend would be a bit too soon. Do I think Newcastle have got enough points to stay up now? All logic points towards yes. 35 tends to be enough to keep you up most years in the Premier League. And if you look at Fulham's form, they're probably on course to get 32 points at a maximum. So I think Newcastle United are probably safe as they are. But like you said, getting another 5 points, and I agree, 5 points is the tally that I think they can get. That's writing off the weekend as a draw, getting a draw on the last day at Fulham, and then beating Sheffield United. That will be a 5 reasonable points that are definitely achievable. Look, Leicester on Friday night is going to be tough. They're an excellent side. Really, they are genuinely an excellent side. They've got good quality footballers from 1 to 11, and have taken Newcastle United apart a couple of times in the last few years, home and away. And I would look at Manchester City. They are what they are. I mean, you go to Manchester City and play absolutely out your skin, you can still get a 3-0 and they won't even break sweat. They're so good. So I would say that 5 points would be a good tally for Newcastle to look at. Maybe even 6, win 2 of those games. Can they win? Can they beat Sheffield United? And can they beat Arsenal on Sunday? And I think that's more than a possibility. But thanks for your time again, Miles. We'll end that there. Check the podcast out with all the usual places. You'll find it on the Shields Gazette website, Google Podcasts, Acast, Spotify, and all the usual.